book about the coming destruction of Nineveh. The prophet Nahum's name means comfort, but nothing is known about him except that he came from Elkosh, a town whose location is uncertain, but Jerome believed it was near Ramah in Galilee. Some have suggested the vicinity of Capernaum. Nahum was a prophet in Judah, since the northern kingdom Israel had already been dissolved at the time of his book. Like so many of God's chosen instruments, unknown people from inconspicuous places carry out God's will. In chapter 3, Nahum refers to the fall of Thebes, which occurred in 663 BC. And the book is about the fall of Nineveh, which occurred in 612 BC. So his prophecy occurred sometime between the two, most likely during the time of King Josiah's church reforms that took place between 620 BC and 630 BC. The Assyrians were known in the ancient world for their extreme cruelty to people whom they conquered. After sacking a city, they would ruthlessly slaughter hundreds and deport remaining people to various places in the empire. And many would die as a result of the brutal marches into exile. Leaders of the captured cities would be ruthlessly tortured and then executed. Remember, reluctant Jonah had prophesied to Nineveh 100 years earlier, and had there been total repentance of the population leaders. As time passed, Nineveh soon returned to their wicked ways, and God used them to execute judgment against the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC. Now, it was Nineveh's turn for judgment. God used Nahum first to pronounce the impending destruction of the wicked and cruel Assyrian capital. No nation as wicked as the Assyrians could expect to be unpunished by God. The second reason was that at the same time, Nahum delivered a message of comfort for God's own people. The knowing that God was carrying out justice in the world and would someday establish the kingdom for them in peace. The book of Nahum has three major characteristics. First, it is one of three Old Testament prophetic books whose message almost exclusively addresses a foreign nation. The other two are Obadiah and Jonah. Secondly, prophetic content and imagery is highlighted with some of the most graphic metaphors and word pictures and blunt language found anywhere in the Bible. It is truly gruesome. Lastly, there is a conspicuous absence of any prophetic message to Judah about her sins or idolatry, perhaps because it was written down during the time of King Josiah's reforms. While limited, it does contain a few words of hope and comfort for Judah. The book has three chapters, and in each chapter, there is an oracle against the city of Nineveh. Chapter 1 has a clear and vivid description of God's nature, especially his wrath, justice, and power, which is available for judgment of the wicked generally and the doom of Nineveh specifically. Chapter 2 predicts Nineveh's approaching judgment and describes in clear and descriptive language how terrible its horrors are. Chapter 3 briefly lists the sins of Nineveh and declares that God is justified in coming judgment and concludes by a visioning of the coming completed disaster. The descriptive words of God as a judge are jealous, great in power, furious, wrathful, vengeful. He will not acquit the wicked and indignant. The abomination to fear God, admonition to fear God is well spoken. As a father, he is slow to anger, good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and knows the ones who trust him. Notice God did not bring judgment on Syria in hot haste. He had been patient for a long time. But finally, his hot anger sent ruin. He is the God of absolute justice. He is the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and forgiving iniquity. Yet, he will by no means clear the guilty. Jonah built on the first side of God's character, love, in Jonah 4:2. Then he brings out the second side, the holiness of God, which must deal with the judgment of sin. This holy judgment is just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, and that in Romans 3:26, because this holy law has been vindicated in the cross of Christ. The New Testament makes no direct use of this book of Nahum, but chapter 1, verse 15, and I quote, "Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feast, O Judah, fulfill your vows, for never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off." End of quote. This verse is actually borrowed from Isaiah 52:7. And is used by Paul in Romans 10:15 to illustrate the new covenant preachers bringing the good news of redemption from sin's bondage and escape from Satan's power through Jesus Christ. Consider Malachi 1:11, quote, "For my name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be presented in my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord," end of quote. Blessings to all. Good day.